Good afternoon, everyone. Happy to have you along. This is Local Matters for a Friday. I'm your host, Dwight Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen of Living Hope Church. Pastor Ron, good afternoon,
sir. Good afternoon, Dwight. It's so good to be with you, man, during all this social distancing.
Are we 6 feet apart? You got your mask on? I've got mine in the car. Maybe we should get it. Yeah, no, we need to. We're not making light.
We're just having fun.
That's exactly right. We were in a remote studio here at the church.
There you go.
Doing things like they're supposed to be done.
Yeah.
And excited about what we're going to be talking about for the next few weeks as far as our subject on local matters. We are, what we're going to be talking about is taken from what some have said, Pastor Ron, is the greatest sermon ever preached, and that was Jesus' Sermon on the Mount when he went up to a mountain to preach. And you could write 18, 20 books on the Sermon on the Mount. You could just never exhaust. A preacher could probably preach his entire career just on the Sermon on the Mount, the teachable moments, the teachable lessons from that particular sermon. But what we're going to be looking at for the next at least couple of weeks, maybe more than that on local matters, is the part of the Sermon on the Mount that is typically called the Lord's Prayer. Some people refer to it as the model prayer. But it's the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And what we want to do is to kind of walk through those lines of demarcation one at a time, and not just for theological purposes, but talk about how they apply to us today. But what we don't want our audience to get the impression that, hey, this is a formula, and if you don't pray exactly this way, God doesn't hear your prayers,
right,
and it doesn't count.
Exactly.
That's not what we're saying, is it?
Right. No. This is a way, really, Dwight, to get to know God and really have Him become personal in our lives to the point that we can not only experience a quote-unquote religious prayer life, but we can really have a connection and on this journey that we're on, know how to appropriate His principles so that life works for us.
That's good.
Yeah.
And let's kind of go from general to specific, not to put you on the spot, but you know, we hear maybe probably one of the most common words in Christendom or the Christian language or when we go to church is the word prayer. What is prayer? Why does it matter? Why do we hear about it so much, and why should we be participating in it?
Well, you know, prayer is really, Dwight, as simply as we can put it, prayer is just simply connecting with God. You know, I think over the years, you know, I've been following the Lord now for 40 years, and I've heard all sorts of teachings, preachings, prayers, theological discourses on prayer. And, you know, the longer I live, the more I realize it's just simple connecting with God.
Yeah.
It's just connecting with God, talking with Him. And the thing that I've discovered, Dwight, is, you know, God obviously is very wise and talented, and He has ways that you can actually connect with Him that make things real simple. And if we can keep this simple and not complicated, we'll be a whole lot better off operating in His principles that teach us how to connect. How do you connect with the Holy God? How do you connect with the Father? How do you connect with what His principles are? And that's the goal of this session, is to get us to the place that we connect with Him so that we can have the real answers in life and how to live life and how to walk on this journey as successful as we possibly can.
What does the Bible mean? You know, the Bible tells us very emphatically, pray without ceasing. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean we have to have our heads bowed and on our knees and you know, using King James English, mm-hmm. you know. But it does say pray without ceasing. Just your observation about that verse.
You know, Dwight, that connection that I'm talking about, when we're going to talk about this in the Lord's Prayer here in Matthew 6, but when we begin to talk about the names of God,
yeah,
and, you know, of course, Jesus prayed, hallowed be thy name. And but when we begin to learn, we can learn how to appropriate the proper name for whatever the problem is that's going on. You know,
yeah.
If you're having a problem with anxiety, worry, fear, then you learn to appropriate Jehovah Shalom, the God of all peace. You learn how to do that. And so that's, when we're talking about praying without ceasing, we're talking about applying these principles to every area of our life and every moment of our life so that the Word of God is working for us, and yeah. we're, and it's happening. It's happening in our lives.
Now, having said that, I'll go ahead. I'm going to read the whole prayer as Jesus Christ quoted it there in Matthew chapter 6. It actually starts in Matthew chapter 6 as part of the Sermon on the Mount, verses 9. There, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. And Jesus said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, that's how Jesus taught him to pray. So what we want to do is just walk through, though, that prayer line by line, line of demarcation, and talk about how it helps us get to know God and how Jesus taught his disciples to pray. So let's just back up there. By the way, we're happy to have you with us. This is Local Matters for Friday afternoon. I'm your host, Dwight Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen at Living Hope Church. And today we're talking about line by line the Lord's Prayer. He started out, it's really interesting. He says, therefore, after this matter, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven. Man, even though he's the creator of the universe, the Son of God says, approach him as Father.
Yes, and I love that. Dwight. He didn't say my Father.
Yeah.
He said our Father.
Yeah.
Meaning that you know, and now I've heard people really mess this up because they say, well, we are all the children of God. Well, if you'll notice, Jesus wasn't teaching this to just everybody. This was something he was teaching to his disciples.
Right.
And so, you know, Jesus over, and I think it's John 8 or 10, he did call the Pharisees, he said, you are of your father the devil. So we know that not everybody is a child of God.
Yeah.
And you become a child of God by becoming a Christian, being born again. But the thing that he says here implicit that is so just marvelous is he's bringing God into the realm of being our Father.
Wow.
I mean, he's bringing God into that realm of our Father. And then, you know, there's a scripture over in 1 John 3 that says, behold, verse 1, it says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should even be called the children of God. Think about that. Just the fact that we're called the children of God is declaring the fact of his love for us as a father. And man, I don't know about you, but man, realizing that God is my Father. Now, I had a real problem with this because we have the same kind of background, Dwight. My father was a disabled veteran. I understand your father had some issues that he was had to be hospitalized for or institutionalized. And so I had a real hard time when I first became a Christian learning how to identify father, what a father was, how a father was. And, you know, for 3 years, the Lord dealt with me to go and just hug my dad's neck and tell him I loved him, and I resisted the Lord. And I mean, when I finally grew enough in my faith and began to understand what a father was, and man, you would not believe the walls that it broke down when I went and did that. Finally had the courage and said, Dad, you know, I just want you to know I love you. I hugged his neck, said, I love you. Man, he just began to tell me how much he loved me and loved our family. And all the years prior to that, it was like you just didn't say it. We just never expressed it, you know. But the fact of Jesus saying that God is our Father which art in heaven. You know, this heavenly Father that connects with us, that loves us, that cares about us. I mean, the magnitude of that is sometimes mind-boggling to me when you think about the care and the love of God to want to have a family here on earth. And, you know, we've had people that related to God in this big religious fashion that I find repulsive, you know, because I'm just a realist. I'm very pragmatic. And I think God, when I look at God and I talk about God, I want to have a relationship with him, not someone that I have to go to with these and thous, because I'm not a thee and thou person, you know. It's like I'm a hillbilly, and or maybe I should say politically correct, I'm an Appalachian American, you know.
There you go.
But anyway, you know, I'm that type of person, and I want to be able to go to God when I connect with him and talk with him and just talk my heart, talk who I am and what I am.
And you know, and I feel kind of impressed to park here just a little bit and talk about our Heavenly Father. You know, once I was born, my biological father, which also he had some mental nervous problems, was in a psychiatric hospital most of his adult life. But when I was born, I was his son. Mm-hmm. If I behaved well, I was his son. If
yes.
I didn't behave well, I was his son.
Yeah.
Nothing could change me about being his son.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so what I I know I'd like to get your thoughts on this too. Once we, by grace through faith, receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, God becomes our Heavenly Father.
Yes, He does.
Now I'm in my 60s now, but I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior when I was 13. Now, I've messed up a lot between 13 and 60-something. Mm-hmm. I have. And I may have messed up the fellowship, the communication with God, not from his end, from my end. I might have messed up the fellowship, the communication, but there's nothing that I can do to mess up the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Once he comes in to be my Heavenly Father, just like my biological father, he is my Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
Hey, we're having a good time talking about the Lord's Prayer today. You stay with us. We'll be back with more with Local Matters in just a moment.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Back for Local Matters, I'm your host, Dwight Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen of Living Hope Church. We're happy to have you with us this Friday afternoon. We're looking at some very important scripture from the book of Matthew, specifically from the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon ever preached, as some have described it. We're looking at what Jesus had to say about prayer, specifically the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 9. We talked about this as Jesus saying, after this matter, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. And we've talked about that some. And then he moves on. It just gets better from there. And he said, now Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray. He says, hallowed be thy name. You know, sometimes when I pray, I kind of want to jump in and say, God, I need this, I need this, I need this. This is going on in my life. Jesus said, whoa, just easy, mm-hmm. just a little bit. Just hallowed be thy name. Hallow the name of the Father.
Yes.
Why is that important?
Well, Dwight, you know, like I said earlier in the first part of the program, if you're dealing with anxiety, then you need to understand the name of God. And this is something that is so important about our relationship with God. Once you understand his names, you begin to understand he will not do anything contrary than what his name says he is.
Yeah.
You know, when he says he is Jehovah Jireh, that means he's our provider. So he's not the God of lack. He's not going to create lack. He's not going to create problems. He's not going to create those situations to try to teach us something. Why? Because it's contrary to his name. It's contrary to his character. So it's so important that we understand what the names of God are. When Jesus said, hallowed be thy name, what he was saying was, I am separating this name to recognize this name is the conquering factor in every aspect of my life. It's the conquering factor
good.
Of sin. It's the conquering factor of poverty. It's the conquering factor of sickness and disease. It's the conquering factor of anxiety. It's the conquering, you know, it's no longer down in the valley, you know, and then one day you're in the valley as a Christian, the next day you're on the hill. No, when you understand the names of God, there never is a valley moment. We may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but the Lord will be with us through that to overcome. He's not giving us the valley to try to teach us a lesson.
No, absolutely not. And you know, And I want you to talk about some of those, Pastor Ron. We talked about, he said, hallowed be thy name. These are names that God gave himself.
Yes, all this through
is,
the scripture.
This, yeah. This is not something that we do call him that only because he called himself that. Yeah. And all these names are descriptive in terms of who he has declared himself to be to us today.
Yes.
Talk about some of those names.
One of those names is Jehovah Tsidkenu, and that's spelled kind of funny. It's a Tsidkenu, but that's found over in Jeremiah 23:6, where it says, Jehovah is my righteousness.
Wow.
And if you can think about this, whole New Testament covenant is based on this righteousness concept of us being the righteousness of God, and Jehovah, God, being our righteousness. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, he, speaking of God, made him, speaking of Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God.
Man,
when we think about God being our righteousness, Dwight, that is a stabilizing factor in regard to any emotion you have. Well, wait just a minute. I just sinned. I made a mistake. I missed the mark. God is my righteousness. I got the blood of Jesus. I've got the cross. I've got the finished work of Jesus. I've got the fact that he created me to be righteousness when I never committed righteousness. He made me righteous. Listen, this is so good. He made me righteousness with his righteousness the same way he was made to be sin with my sin.
He died a sinner's death.
Right. He never committed sin, but no. He was made to be sin with my sin so that I could be made the righteousness of God. Man, when we think about this exchange, this great exchange that took place, Dwight, and the practical part of this is, this righteousness is what keeps us. This righteousness keeps your mind stable. It's the anchor of your soul. It's the hope that you have that God is not going to forsake you like we talked about earlier. It's the hope that we have that we are forever sealed with him and that we're forever with him. It's the hope that we have that God is on our side, that he will never leave us. It's the hope that we have, if God be for us, who could be against us? I mean, all of the scriptures, he'll never leave me nor forsake me, are based on this fact that by faith he has made us his righteousness.
And he calls himself, when we pray, hallowed be thy name, that's really part of what we're praying. He has called himself Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jehovah your righteousness. Define that for us. By the way, we're glad you're with us this Friday afternoon. This is Local Matters. I'm your host, Dwight Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen of Living Hope Church. We're looking at the Lord's Prayer, what it means to us today. Jehovah Tsidkenu, righteousness. How's that defined in practical terms?
Well, practical terms, Dwight, you know, if I miss the mark, or if my emotions are going crazy and I'm in a family that just goes from one drama to the next, well, I can have my life, my mind, my emotions just as steady and peaceful as calm after the storm, and I can have that in the middle of the storm because righteousness is the factor that keeps me rightness with God. It's rightness with God. And I realize that even though all this stuff may be going on around me, I am at peace. Romans 5:1 says, Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Being justified or made righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This righteousness, the practical part of this righteousness, basically means there is peace on everyday living, everyday life, everyday area of life.
And basically, because of the work of Jesus Christ, because of the his completed work, but his death, burial, and resurrection, and the fact that we have accepted that personally into our life, we are in right standing. Things are as they should be with us. We have been restored to a relationship with God.
Yeah.
Not based on our performance, but based on what Jesus has already done.
Exactly. And when we go to basing this on our performance, Dwight, is when righteousness, it doesn't leave, but it seems to leave. That peace will fly away like a dove because we're basing it on us. And we know in our own lives, we can't do this. Who can measure up to the standard of God's righteousness? Who can measure up to that standard in their own strength? I don't know of anybody that can. That's why Jesus died, to make us righteous with God. When we receive him by faith, we have to receive this righteousness by faith the same way, Dwight, he received received our sin. He never committed sin, but he was made to be sin. We never commit righteousness, but we're made to be righteous because of him. Man, I'll tell you, that's good stuff.
It is. And so when we're praying, as Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." One of the names that we're praying is Jehovah Shed Kenuth, yep. My righteousness. But God has called himself lots of other things. The most of us aren't even aware of.
And there's a lot.
Give us another name that he's called himself.
Another name that he's called himself is Jehovah Makadesh. Jehovah Makadesh, and that means the God who sanctifies. And that's a religious word, but basically it means it's the God who separates us. Like when the children of Israel were in Egypt, Dwight, and all the plagues were coming on Egypt, they were in the land of Goshen. When it was dark in Egypt, it was light in Goshen. When death angel came to Egypt, life was in Goshen. And so that means that God separates a people unto himself, and in Christ we are those people. We are the people of God that are separated unto God. Man, think about that. Yeah, isn't that awesome?
And that's one of the names that he calls himself. So that's, you know, as Jesus teaches us to pray that way, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," what we are doing, Pastor, and I know you've got some more names that God calls himself, but what we're doing before we jump into what I call our needs list, and the top 10 things we need today, we're taking a moment in our prayer life to reflect on not just what God does, but who he is.
Yes.
Who he has called himself to be, to give him praise and thanksgiving for who he is. And, you know, and I believe, and I think you do too, that praise is the highest form of prayer.
Oh, yeah.
So if I'm going to take some time to reflect on, he's my righteousness, you know, he's my healer, he's my shepherd, he's my peace, all that stuff, then boy, that's sure going to increase my faith as I move into asking him for what my needs are. I mean, yes. It sets the stage for petition.
For faith, it really does. And you know, Dwight, one of this word here about Makadesh, or our sanctifier, you know, Dwight, when we remind ourselves, "Hallowed be thy name," and God is our sanctifier, we are reminding ourselves to live separated life unto God. We're reminding ourselves to be vessels of honor to him. We're reminding ourselves to separate ourselves from the sins of life and the cares of life and the lust of things. And we're reminding ourselves that this is about a life separated unto God, not connected with the world, but separated unto God. And man, you think about that life where we are his sheep, his children, separated unto him, and we've got a daddy like God, you know, is so concerned about our well-being like any father would be. You think about, as we are motivated in this in prayer, it's going to be more than just a gimme, 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 my name is Jimmy, Liz. It's going to be a connection and a relationship with him that we see ourselves on a journey.
And so, and we've got a couple of minutes left in the show today. So, but there's, like, as I recall, like 8 or 9 different times in the Bible that God calls himself something to us.
Yes.
A name that he gives himself. Not that we give him, that he gives himself.
Yes.
And that's applicable in this verse. So when I pray, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," that's in essence what I'm saying. I'm recognizing everything that he's called himself to be, and I can make application to that part of his name, to my part of my life where I need him right there.
Yes.
Man,
wherever the place is that we need him, we can say, "Father, hallowed be thy name. I am going to appropriate this name. Like right now, Lord, I'm dealing with anxiety or fear. Maybe I've gone through a tragedy. Maybe I've gone through a loss. Maybe something is happening. And Lord, instead of blaming you, instead of cursing you, I'm going to go, 'Our Father, my Father, hallowed be thy name.' Your name says you are Jehovah Shalom.
Yeah.
You are the God of peace. You are the God that has made peace between me and you through the blood of the Lord Jesus. You're the God that through this peace, I have access to you. I can come to your very throne in a time of need to receive grace and mercy to help me to overcome whatever this anxiety situation is, whatever this problem is. God, you are Jehovah Shalom. I'm going to remind myself of that before I ask you, 'Oh God, take away this storm,' or 'Oh God, do this,' or 'Oh God, do that.' I'm going to remind myself that you are Jehovah Shalom. You are the God of all peace." And Dwight, this is a really, as we're dealing with all the issues that we're dealing with in our country, you know, Jehovah Shalom is a perfect scripture. And, you know, I am a firm believer. We have a mental health clinic here at the church that we operate on Fridays from 9 until noon. And if you need help, it's a free mental health clinic. We have a doctor here that can see you and counsel you and help you. But it's Hope Springs Clinic. And Dwight, I'm a firm believer in having sound mental health. You know, I believe that this peace aspect is a part of God that says, you know, you may be struggling with hurts and pains and situations of the past. You may be dealing with situations that are going on in your life. But I want you to know, I am the God of peace. I want you to have peace. Not that everything is going to just be changed in a moment, but that you can get through this with me as your peace.
This is good.
Man, I tell you, is our time already up?
We're just getting started.
Good night.
So we're going to pick it up right here next week, what we call the Lord's Prayer or the Model Prayer. It's been good, Pastor Ron.
Yes.
Invite you to join us same time next week for Local Matters.